The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Pedro Gomez and the latest on Major League Baseball getting back into play or not. This is going to be a long, truncated back and forth ping pong. Millionaires and billionaires arguing over dollars during a pandemic is just a bad look. But I want to get into what the issues are here with Pedro Gomez. This is not just going to be sitting here ranting and raving about that. I think you guys need to know that there is a chance, okay? And it doesn't have to happen today. In negotiations, there's always going to be a back and forth. I think that, in my view, it's optimistic in that the owners are saying, let's do something. It's not optimistic that they're saying, and without saying it, let's put a salary cap in place, which has never happened in baseball. That, in a nutshell, is where everything is on this. So how many weeks of bluster are we going to put up with? That, at the end of the day, will be the big topic of conversation. Pedro will be with us from ESPN. Always good to catch up with Pedro. Opening comments are brought to you by Sagicornell. Protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. When I talk to you about life insurance, it's pretty simple. If you didn't come home tonight, would everything be handled the way that you would want? Would colleges be taken care of? Would final expenses be taken care of? With life insurance and Sagicornell, all you have to do is get peace assured, look into that product, or get your life insurance updated, or just get started, guys. If you have young kids, you've not done it before, you have to get started on this, okay? Simple enough to do wherever you are in your space in life. Log on to Sagicornell. That's Sagicornell. We appreciate their support. Eric is with us. You have a 2020 vision potentially today, it sounds like, seems like. If this comes through, what is it? Who is it?
Christopher Carrillo is a two-way lineman who played at Central High School. He's obviously a class of 2020. He had 90 tackles last year. He was the best player on the Bobcats, and we're hoping to catch up with him as part of our ongoing 2020 vision segment, which I've really, really enjoyed doing. So is high school graduation like usually in the next few weeks for most schools? I'm confused.
Yeah, well, you've never been in that space, so
no.
I'll fill you in on this, having had three of them with one more to go. Third week in May. So think next week, towards the end of next week before Memorial Day. Sometimes they do, I don't know why, in the Chandler School District, we'll do Memorial Day and then come back like on Wednesday or Thursday, and it's the last day of school, so at the end of the month. But
gotcha.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah.
And the 2020s have been really well received. I like that. We were way out front on this, and you've really done a great job in doing it. I know Jordan's got a couple, too, that he wants to get to. Look, there's a few things that we'll get to after Pedro, but just in a nutshell, the sports news of the day, the Coyotes and Aaron Cohen have parted ways. This is another president of the Coyotes. By my count, that's seven presidents that have been running the Coyotes through the years. This is absolutely no surprise. Anybody who tries to make this out of the surprise, it wasn't that Aaron Cohen didn't know what he was doing. He did a very good job. It's just whenever a new owner comes in, there's always a change with the president. That's just how it is. And the Coyotes keep changing owners. So Aaron did a good job. I sent him a text this morning. We've been going back and forth. He's going to be fine. I think the bigger story, Eric, there's going to be some news with Chandler Jones today. If you're a Cardinal fan, NFL fan, Chandler Jones is going to do a Zoom around 12:30. You're going to see and hear a lot about him on social media today. He's completely underrated, in my view, and underappreciated nationally. He's been terrific for the Cardinals. Last night, I went out. I actually was in a space where social distancing was not really being practiced. It was a DC steakhouse in downtown Chandler. It was their grand opening. We weren't all up against each other, but it was pretty clear people were happy to be back. This was the grand opening. It was a terrific night, terrific spot. Had a lot of fun. I ran into some people with ties with the Cardinals, some people with ties with Arizona State. So it was interesting to visit with them on where things are with the NFL and on the college front. I don't know if you saw the story that dropped last night. So there's this webinar that Yogi Roth is doing with Pac-12 coaches. And in the webinar, David Shaw said, from his understanding or what they're looking at, is all non-Pac-12 games would be dropped the way things are going. Okay? So let's get into this a little bit. Washington opens with North Dakota State, pretty good team that people don't know about. And then they have Ohio State. Those games would go bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right? Then you have USC that has Alabama and Notre Dame. Stanford has Notre Dame, too. They have Notre Dame and Alabama. Those games would go bye-bye. ASU, UNLV, NAU, pretty inequitable.
So this has some impact for me. I woke up to a text message from one of my college buddies at TCU this morning that said, did you hear this rumor? Question mark. Yeah. TCU is supposed to open at Cal Berkeley. That's supposed to be their first game. There are whispers that TCU would play Alabama at Jerry World if they did not make the trip to Berkeley in September.
So the long and short of all this is Eric just laid out a case for, I'm going to TCU, Alabama, asking for a day off.
Brad, there will only be 86 people allowed in Jerry World.
And you're one of them.
I will probably not be one of those 86.
Would you go?
Probably not. Because the tickets to those games are ridiculous. Like TCU played Ohio State a few years ago, and it was like $250 to go see it at Jerry World.
Yeah, but,
like,
nope. but why do you get on planes to go watch them play Who Cares teams? Come on, man.
You're like the
Arizona chapter of TCU football. You are Mr. TCU. You are Go Frogs.
Clearly, you have been spending way too much time on golf courses. Last year, I always go to the good Big 12 games.
Do I have somewhere here in the Sports 360 AZ manual of how many days off Eric has put in for football? No, I don't.
I'm grandfathered in, Brad. We've been over this.
That's it. All right. Pedro Gomez is next on everything going on with baseball. Stay with us. All right, as promised, Pedro Gomez, ESPN analyst, Baseball Insider Valley resident, is with us. And Pedro gets to talk about and cover baseball labor. Oh, boy. Would you rather cover baseball labor or Barry being mad at you? Which would be more fun for you?
Barry being mad, because that means I get to watch baseball on a nightly basis. And right now, this is the on the field and off the field segment of my job. And the off the field segment is not nearly as exciting as the on the field segment.
Okay. So fans are asking, well, I was out last night and they're saying, are we going to have baseball? Are we going to have baseball?
Oh boy.
So Pedro, are we going to have baseball?
You know, Brad, I would put the odds at about 25% to 30% that we will have baseball this year. This may be a lot of posturing right now going on, and this may be the early set of getting ready for the next collective bargaining agreement, which is due after the 2021 season. So there's a lot riding on what's going on here, and I think that there's a lot of revenue sharing ideas by the owners going on here, and the players aren't necessarily on board with that. It's a very strong union, but I would say the odds are less than 30% that we're going to see baseball.
Okay, so we're in a pandemic and we have millionaires fighting with billionaires.
Yep.
That is how this is going to play out right now. The perception is going to be, okay, I don't think I'm ramming this down your throat. I just feel like when people start to cut through this, they're going to say, I don't want to hear about owners and players going back and forth. And ultimately, it's going to come down on the players. Owners are always not liked, in my opinion. You go back to 95 and you had to go to an arbiter. Are we in that space where ultimately an arbiter is going to come in and the fan that's at home that's lost his or her job, that is hearing about billionaires saying we're not getting enough revenue share, Pedro's going to sit there and look into the camera and say, here's where we are today. This isn't going to go well for baseball.
It's not. The issue is that the players always are the ones that are on the losing PR battle. So yep. They're going to get the most heat. There's no doubt about it. But I do want to be clear. This isn't just about money. This is about getting 19 actually different municipalities. Because of the 30 major league clubs, you have 19 municipalities.
Okay.
In the sense of, look, Illinois has two teams. Florida has two teams. Ohio has two teams. California has five teams. So you're looking at 19 different municipalities, which means 19 health offices have to sign off on this. Mayors, governors. So it's not just about the money. Here's what I think could ultimately lead to baseball this year is forget the 19 municipalities and we go to the three-state idea, which was floated out there a while ago, where you have 10 clubs in Arizona, 10 in Texas, and 10 in Florida. We already know that the governors of those three states have kind of already said, hey, if you want to play here, we're good. We're good with that idea. So you've got three friendly administrations, so to speak, that might be open to that. Baseball's ideal plan would be to play in as many home parks as possible. Getting health offices and governors and mayors to say yes right now, even a month from now, might not be that simple. But getting these three states to say yes, 10 clubs here, each state, that could be the only option to me that allows baseball to be seen this year. Hey, it's not just about the money, although revenue sharing, although the player salaries is going to be part of it. The players are okay with getting paid for the number of games they played. They play. If it's a half a season, they will take 50% of their salary to cover that. But now if owners say, yeah, but we're losing revenue because we don't have in-game parking, ticket sales, concessions, so we need you to take even more reduction, that's where the issues are going to flare up.
Pedro Gomez with us. So in that vein, an 82-game schedule has been floated out there. Yeah. To me, that feels like the owners are saying, we don't really even want to give you that much. The players have said, Pedro, we'll play as many as possible, right? Yeah. We'll do doubleheaders. Yes. 82, to me, feels light, like the owners are saying, yeah, you know, we're going to cut our dollars back, and you know what, we'll get some games out there. Am I right on this?
Well, you're not. You're on the right track, I think. I think ownership wants to float the idea like, look, we want to play 80 games. We want to play as many, you know, at this number of games, knowing in the back of their minds that getting 19 different municipalities to say yes is going to be really difficult. But it kind of absolves a lot of owners from saying, well, look, we tried. It wasn't us.
Right.
The players aren't willing to negotiate with us on salaries and things like that. So, you know, it always comes down to a PR battle when it comes to these kind of negotiations. And the reality, Brad, you and I have seen these negotiations for decades. We've covered them. We know that players tend to lose the PR battle because Joe Fan doesn't really think about an owner saying, no, we have to draw the line. He thinks about a player saying, no, I need to make this amount of money.
Right.
That's the easier person to get angry with.
Okay, players' perspective on all this. What do the players want?
They just want to get paid the number of games they play. So if they play 50% of the games, they're willing to take a 50% pay cut from their normal salary. The problem is the owners they're now going to want to negotiate and say, yes, but we're not receiving all of our revenue for those 50% of the games played. We're going to only receive 60% of that figure. So we need the players to now take another 40% cut, and we'll split everything 50-50. And that's where the players are going to say, wait, we're the ones taking the health risks here. We're the ones going to the ballpark, exposing ourselves to all these different people, and then coming home and exposing our wives and our children and our parents to potentially a fatal virus here. So if they're taking all of the risk, they're going to say, we're not going to take a pay cut. That's the player's perspective side.
Okay, and you've given the owners, I know you have a conference call to jump on here shortly. Before I let you get out of here, we're going to have a lot of bluster the next 2 weeks, probably. Starting today. Yeah, it'll be a lot of bluster, a lot of negative, and then there'll be optimism, and then there'll be negative. At what point, if they want to start around the 4th of July, which would be terrific, in my opinion, at what point do they have to come to an agreement to get things going, to get themselves ready? Is it around June 1st? Is it around June 10th? We know the next 2 weeks are not going to be fun. We know that.
So, I think that's probably why it's starting today, by the way.
Yeah, right. So what is the date in your mind of, okay, if they want to start 4th of July, which would be great from PR, great for the country, when do they have to fight through all the nonsense that we're going to hear the next 2 weeks?
I think players could be, if it was just a two-week spring training, say starting on June 15th, okay. I think they could still make that July 1st or so, that weekend work. You'd have to have expanded rosters like crazy, probably a pool of about 50 players or so to pick 26 active for any given night. So I do think that 2 weeks probably, it's not ideal for pitchers especially, right, but I think that they could make it work with just a two-week spring training.
All right, get out of here. Have fun.
Did not include games, by the way.
Yeah. Get out of here. I know you got to jump on your call. See you.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Take care.
You too. See you. Stay safe. There's Pedro Gomez with us via Skype. Always good to catch up with Pedro, and he is working hard on this. It's one of those stories that it's just not going to have a fun, it's not going to have a fun tone to it for the next 2 to 3 weeks. The owners are greedy bastards, and the players, they're greedy. And we're going to hear that over and over. Like Pedro said, we've seen this. And I don't know if you're in a space where you are in your 20s, in your 30s, and you haven't seen much of this stuff. It just drives you up a wall. I can go all the way back to 87 and strike football and the NFL, and they had replacement scab players. And through the years, it's just one thing after. When it gets to labor negotiations, fans get really angry. And I don't blame you. I don't. I'm optimistic, even at a 25% chance, as Pedro put it, I'm just optimistic that the two sides are going to go through this process, because it is a negotiation. Okay, fine. Knock yourselves out for a couple weeks. And then they're going to look at each other and say, really? Are we really in the middle of a pandemic going to say we can't figure it out to play baseball? Are we really going to go that far? And are the owners going to say, we're going to beat you into submission until we get a salary cap because baseball doesn't have that? Are the players going to say, you know what, we're going to stand our ground. You're going to hear a lot about Tony Clark. Tony's a former Diamondback. Tony played at the U of A in basketball. I broadcast Tony's games back when he transferred from U of A to San Diego State. He was a basketball kid. He's the first non-lawyer that is in this space. Pedro pointed that out to me off the air, which I find interesting. You know, how is a former player going to handle this? And then just the whole PR battle that you're going to see. And it's going to change. There's going to be days where, hey, it's happening. Then all of a sudden, well, not so fast. That's just how this is going to go. All right. On the other side, I want to get back into this Pac-12 and college football story about teams having to get rid of their non-conference games and the and how equitable it is in the span of the Pac-12. I want to get into that a little bit more. Eric's got his 2020 vision. That's all straight ahead. Stay with us. All right, Eric's 2020 vision comes up in about 15 minutes. What'd you make out of Pedro?
In the know, as Pedro usually is. He is, I think, less optimistic about what's going to happen with Major League Baseball in terms of them getting games played. And it's going to be, as you mentioned in the top of the show, it's just going to be a back and forth, and it's going to be like someone buying and selling a house. There's going to be negotiating, and it could get ugly. So we'll just have to see how it plays out.
You know, it feels to me like when they said 82 games, and Pedro and I got into this a little bit, he had to run on his call, but it feels like that's not enough games. Like, any baseball is better than no baseball. But 82 games versus, look, that doesn't include doubleheaders. And so the owners then don't have to pay the players as much again.
Correct.
Well, we'll put 82 out there, you know, it's fine. Because all this conversation about, no, you know what, we could actually get 162 or close to it with doubleheaders and so on and so forth. Where'd that go? You know, and if you have 50 players, because that's what the number has been. If you have 50 players, you have the designated hitter. If you're a purist, you're going to hate this. And I would just say, get over it. It's baseball. I want baseball. Baseball to me is just—it's just part of my routine and regimen this time of year. I am watching. Tonight would be an NBA playoff game. It would be a baseball game. It would be a Coyote hockey playoff game, which hasn't happened in 8 years. Just get back at it.
But do you think, Brad, the players may have jumped the gun by saying, well, we just want to get paid for the games that we actually play? And the owners are like, perfect, we're going to play 82 games, and we're going to pay you for those 82 games.
Right, and we know that the players will get pummeled. The players will get crushed in this because they do every time. And I'm a players guy. I side with the players. If you're a former player or you're a current player and you're watching this, you're like, you're bashing us? No, it's a fact. Whenever these things happen, the PR side never goes on the owners. It just doesn't, and it drives me crazy. And the bluster part of it, the millionaires versus billionaires against the in a pandemic, that's going to play. Media will grab onto that. They will. I'm more in this, in honesty, today, while this is a big day for baseball, because what will happen is the players will reject this out of hand today. And then we'll have to go back and say, well, see, there's that. This Pac-12 story, Eric, somebody brought this to my attention during the break. Got a text from someone who knows their college football inside and out. He said, you know that the other part of this discussion is that the Pac-12 would have all of their teams play one another this year. Usually they have those games. So now all of a sudden Arizona State doesn't have UNLV and have NAU. They have Washington and Stanford.
That's a blow to them. It'd be great for the fans, though. It'd be great watching. I mean, no offense to NAU, but I'd much rather watch ASU play Washington or Stanford than play Lumberjacks.
So what happens to NAU in all this?
They lose a big pay night. That's what they do.
Correct. So the smaller programs, I saw this morning, I forget the school, but another Division II program folded today. That's two college football programs that I'm aware of that have folded. There's going to be so many more as this progresses of programs saying, we can't afford football anymore, we have to drop the sport, or how do we do football with a coronavirus that's going on? How do we put that sport into play? And I saw our friend Greg Byrne last night, do some stuff around, he's optimistic that there's going to be a season. Again, talking about January 1st of starting the season, I'd be down with that. For the Pac-12 and for Herm, because there's so much anticipation around Jaden Daniels and year number three of the Herm Edwards experience, that I think fans here are actually geeked for college football more than usual. U of A programs in just, where is it? Where is it? Exactly, where is it heading? And I always get the, well, we're finally starting to get some recruits and they had to get rid of the former coaches guys and we're going to get it turned around this year. And it's just like, I've heard this for 25 freaking years. So
there's just really not any buzz around U of A football, like none. I mean, they haven't been to a bowl in 2 years. The fans aren't coming. The fans are not going to the stadium. Khalil Tate is off to try to make it in the NFL. And they're just, Grant Gunnell's a really good quarterback, but they need a lot more in Tucson. I mean, they're honestly, Brad, there's been nothing said about U of A football. They had zero players drafted. Zero.
Well, and what I get is, boy, you really are hard on U of A. You guys used to put them on the Football AZ show, and you don't even put them on. That's because U of A doesn't help. Okay, let's be honest. Let's just put it out there. U of A doesn't care about getting any attention for their football program. That's a fact. Anybody who denies that in media space, you know and I know I'm right on that. They don't care. They don't even want people to know their program exists out there with fans. Through us.
I'll just say this, and yes. you will concur with this. It was the ship was run much different when Greg Byrne was there.
Oh my gosh, it was run different. But you know what I get on that? Well, he knew that things were not going in the right direction, and he got out of there. And it's like, guys, he left Tucson for Alabama. It wasn't anything other than it was Alabama. Don't make your program be like it's the greatest thing ever. It's not.
He basically went from Sizzler to Morton's. And there's nothing wrong with Sizzler, but if you have the opportunity
Oh, yes, there is. There's something wrong at Sizzler. I mean, they're not going to have their buffet anymore at Sizzler.
No, buffets, nope.
The NAU Sizzler, that's where I hit it. All right. We've got 2020 vision coming up on the other side, and that is with Eric, and that is next.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Sorensen, and as we continue our 2020 vision segments, basically what we're doing is each day that we are on the stream show, we are trying to connect with a member of the 2020 class, boy or girl, to just sort of check in, see how everything is, reflect back on their senior year, well, what's left of their senior year. And today we're happy to be joined by Central High's Christopher Carrillo, a two-way standout player for the Bobcats last year. He most notably known for his work at defensive end, but also got a little time on the offensive line as well. Chris, it's Eric Sorensen. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you? And thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm doing really well. Thank you. Thanks for asking. How have you been handling the pandemic, both from a mental standpoint and from a physical standpoint? I know everything sort of got turned upside down in your world. And as I've been doing these segments over the last several weeks, that's usually the first thing I like to ask the student athletes is just how are you handling all this?
Well, it's been tough, especially like, you know, being used to seeing a lot of people every day to like, not seeing anybody, especially in a school setting, but I've been handling it well. I'm fortunate enough to have one of my friends lives just upstairs from me, so we still communicate and stuff. But then physically, I've just been trying to stay active. I do occasionally go hiking in the mountains, and just in the mornings I try to do some cardio and some workouts.
So I was talking to Coach Hovick before we did this interview, and he said, You excelled on the football field, but more importantly, you've done a great job in the classroom as well. How has that been adjusting from being at Central in a big classroom setting to having the responsibility of doing everything online now?
It's been a little tough, but the school's been communicating with the student body, and I got a laptop and a hotspot so I could get workout, but. Yeah, it's a little difficult to stay as focused on the subject matter and really stay on top of assignments, but I've been handling it well.
All right, I've been dying to ask you this. So apparently you showed up, I believe it was before your junior year, you decided you were going to give football a try, and Coach Hovick said that initially you were going to try to play wide receiver or something, and he said, no. We're going to put your hand in the ground. You're going to be a defensive end. The end of this story is I think you had 90 tackles last year or some ridiculous amount, but you made that big jump in improvement between your junior year and the beginning of your senior year. What did you do to really get yourself ready for your final season last fall?
I think a major factor in that growth was my lineman coach, Coach Buddha, and he was very attentive and learned a lot of stuff. And it was just a lot of the workouts that we did getting and just learning the technical stuff more so. So learning the different movements and stuff so I could get through the line better.
So I did a story on a kid at Central probably 5-6 years ago now, kid by the name of Azur Kamara. I'm sure you've heard that name. He was a soccer player, and he transformed into a dominant defensive end at Central. He went to the University of Kansas after playing junior college ball, and now I believe he has he signed as an unrestricted free agent with an NFL team. Have you heard about Azur and kind of how you guys are in a way just kind of late to the game, but still blew up your senior year?
Unfortunately, I have not.
Oh, okay.
Check it out after this.
For sure.
See more of that process.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, definitely check that out. So Coach Ovik was telling me about probably your highlight last year was against Camelback, where you scooped it up and you had a scoop and score. And it was probably the play of the year for Central. Walk us through that play. I'm sure you remember it vividly, and how you got to pay dirt on that.
Well, the big thing was like my senior year thing was I wanted to score a defensive touchdown, like really bad. I always told the coaches, and then so that was the mentality every game. And the opportunity arose. We were in the line, I believe it was a forced fumble either by me or one of my teammates. And then I just saw and grabbed it and just kept my legs moving and tried it towards the end zone.
All right. Well, you know what? You're not going to brag about yourself, but I will. I saw the play on Huddle. You broke off like a 60-yard run. I think you broke like 5 or 6 tackles. So you're being humble, but that was one incredible play. What did it mean to you, Chris, to not just be named a captain before your senior year, but to be named the defensive MVP as well?
It meant a lot because we put a lot of work in. And so, like, I felt like I put a lot of work in. I gave the best of myself for the team. And it felt really good to be appreciative and see all that like hard work come to fruition. And it was amazing.
If you were to give a speech to the juniors and the sophomores and some of the younger players at Central about how they can have the same kind of success as you did if they put their mind to it, what, if you had to sit them down and talk to them about that, what would you really try to stress to them?
I'll really try to stress finding the passion, and the thing that really did it for me was the brotherhood that you kind of make in sports, and that brotherhood with the team. Like, it no longer becomes about trying to achieve these things or getting the tackle, getting all of this for yourself, but it's for the team. And I feel like that's, like, a great force that could push you really forward into development. But you also yourself have to want it for yourself as well. So it's about finding that balance, about being able to do it for the team and to want it for yourself.
Well said. Very well said. In terms of you know, I've done quite a few of these 2020 Vision interviews. I've loved all of them. They've all been different. But the one common theme that I love to ask the student athletes is what sort of hobby they've picked up during quarantine. I've had all kinds of different answers, Chris. I've had perfecting their TikTok videos. I've had fishing. Tazai Quinn from South Mountain says he loves to cook now. Is there something that you've been doing that you didn't do maybe before the quarantine set in? A hobby or anything like that?
That I can think of? No, I haven't done anything that I haven't been interested or have done before, but I got back into just painting and stuff, and then I've been cooking home meals for my family, and that's been great.
Okay. What's your go-to in the kitchen? Like, brag about yourself here for a minute. You know?
I like cookie, like meats and stuff. I just recently made for Mother's Day. I made my mom some New York strips.
Oh, okay.
And some double baked potatoes with some asparagus. That was nice.
Oh man, you are a good son. You are a good son. Well, leave me with this. What are your plans next year for school? Are you going to try to keep playing football? Or what's on the agenda?
That's the plan. I'm going to ASU and to study automotive engineering, and then hopefully the plan is to walk on the football team, and if not, maybe take my freshman year to develop like physically, you know, work out, get I guess ripe, and then really go for it my sophomore year.
Very nice. Well, just before we leave, what are your what are your dimensions? What are you at right now in terms of height and weight?
Right now, I'm 6'4" and I'm 235.
Okay. And what would you like to try to get to? Are you okay in that 6'4", 235 range, or?
I'm fine with it. It's more about like making some of that fat turn into muscle and trying to stay at 235, maybe even 240. Or maybe 230, or that's the range I'm trying to go for.
All right. Well, I'm no coach, but I'm going to give you some advice. You better stay away from those twice-baked potatoes if you want to try to turn some of that baby fat into muscle. All right, man?
Yes, sir. That's the tough part.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Chris. I enjoyed the visit, and best of luck. I know we'll be in touch throughout the summer and as you make your way to ASU.
Yeah, no, thank you. You're welcome as well. I hope you have a good day.
You as well. Thanks, Chris. That's Christopher Carrillo, Central High two-way star. He led the team in tackles, was also named the defensive MVP, and was a captain last fall. He is today's 2020 Vision guest.